good to be up on the top for a change. We call this up here Big Church downstairs, as opposed to junior worship. And even though it's only been about 2 months since I started going down there every week, it feels like it's been a long time since I stood up in front of you guys. But it's nice to be here. The text for today is going to be out of Luke chapter 17, if you want to turn there in your pew Bibles, starting in verse 11. And on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voice and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And they went, and as they did, they were cleansed. And then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell upon his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has saved you." Let us pray. O God, you are our God, and we earnestly seek you. Father, we are surrounded on all sides by busy lives, by busy people, by busy jobs, by busy work. And Father, in this busyness, we find that our vision is blurred, that our sight is obscured. And so we ask, Father, that as the stress increases, as the pressure mounts, and as the cracks form, you will clear our eyes, that we may see the kingdom of God and know the gospel of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Life presents all manner of difficulties to living a full and happy existence. Trials that tear at the fabric of our reality and threaten our peaceful existence. For some, the difficulty of life lies in the relationships that we have with others. Living peaceably can be a task, sometimes unbearable. For others, the hardship of this world is found in the work of their hands, finding fulfillment and purpose in the labor that provides us sustenance. But by far the most troublesome pain of our meager existence is physical decay. The sicknesses our body takes, the weakness that our flesh exudes, and there is none more struck down or pressed in than we lepers. If you think that relationships are difficult, imagine living alone because you cannot come within 20 feet of another person. Try, if you can, to envision making a friend, falling in love, or even striking up the shortest of conversations while yelling out, "Unclean!" everywhere you go, seeing people scatter to the four corners as you approach. Or if you think that working hard in a menial job is no fun, imagine not being able to work at all, having to beg for scraps, just to survive from day to day. Being forced to crawl through the worst creation's filth to find a form of nourishment for tomorrow. It is a cursed life, a half-life we lepers live. And though we have found some measure of community among one another, each of us would gladly leave the others behind for a chance to be clean again. Yeah, we travel together, but though we do, our sorrow is our own, and each of us carries the scars of our singular painful experiences, the rejection, the self-loathing of being leprous. We are apart from all things. We live on the margins, constantly keeping our distance and living in the between places of the land. There's this guy that one of the ten was talking about, a healer, apparently. He wanders around Judea and Galilee from time to time. News like this always strikes a chord in the group. We lean in hungrily and listen for details. Where is he right now? Does he travel through Samaria often? Is he a priest? Can he heal lepers? Perhaps he will come by this way. We are a traveling group, so if we stick to the villages and roads, keeping our distance, of course, we might catch him one of these days and convince him to try his hand on the ten of us. Though none of us are like our lepers like the ten, I don't think that their experience is completely divorced from ours today. We too suffer from debilitating disease, from illness that racks our body with pain, that leaves us physically, emotionally, and spiritually wrung out. We too have conflicted relationships. We are pressed with the expectations of so many around us and overburdened by our own needs and desires for success. We struggle to express ourselves and in turn misunderstand so many that are around us. We struggle and strive as social Darwinism breaks us and refines us. We suffer from the occupational hazards that have always been on the minds of humans. We strive to find meaning in the work of our hands to make the world and the lives around us better. We search for fulfillment in what we do, but that often seems to elude us. Instead, we are pressed in on all sides. Our friends, our family, those that we love, press us. Our jobs, our responsibilities, the things that we do press us. The weakness and frailty of our bodies, the brokenness of humanity presses us. And under such pressure, the cracks begin to form. The seams that normally weave our lives into coherent whole begin to stretch and tear. The layers of our protection fall away, and we find ourselves living in a place we dread, living in those cracks, trying desperately to hold things together. I know that I am not alone in feeling the stress of living in a big city, working and commuting, trying to build relationships, but still remain healthy. Some of us are students who go to school and go to work. They juggle their classes and their marriages, sometimes just holding on, hoping things will get better eventually. Some of us are starting families, struggling to work and find meaning while wrestling with building something brand new that calls all of your ability, all of your talents to make it work. Some of us are simply trying to balance healthy living with the demands of careers, the expectations of success that society, family, and even we put on ourselves. and when we are stressed, when the cracks appear and the seams expand, things begin to fall apart and our vision narrows. We begin to focus on only the things that get us from day to day. We fall into patterns of existence that barely see to the end of the week, much less leave us time to reflect or plan for the future. Like the lepers, we look for the next healer to come along and give us peace. An architect for success who can bind our broken seams and repair the cracks of our lives. And so we reach a tipping point, the edge of a precipice, the fork in the road. We stand ready to be built up by some magnanimous force of peace, or undercut by a tide of chaos that will drown us. We and the lepers stand at the same place, looking out for someone, something that can alter this cycle of unrest that seems to dominate our lives. And fortunately for us, or fortunately for one of us at least, the good news has already happened. The lepers see Jesus and from their distance cry out for healing. Jesus must know their desire, for he tells them what they should rightfully do. Go to the priest and be healed. And as they go, they obtain their goal. Their faith has healed them, and they gain a reward for the stress of their bodies. You might be able to imagine the rejoicing that they had as they presented themselves to the priest at the temple and pronounced healed. No more yelling out, unclean. No more sleeping in caves and tents far from the city. No more leper colonies. Their faith has healed them and they rejoice. And then one of them, a Samaritan, does something remarkable, though not entirely unexpected. He returns to Jesus and says simply, "Thank you." The others do not return, but it seems of little consequence. They gained their healing, as did the Samaritan, this foreigner. And in this, faith is truly shown, and Jesus praises the man for it. But for us, healing is not so forthcoming. Jesus does not appear next to our houses or our neighborhoods to heal our leprosy. He does not come close to us in our times of desperation or draw near in our isolation and loneliness. He does not repair the fractured relationships that consume our lives. He does not remove the anxiety that comes from living and working in a city like Boston. It would be so simple if Jesus were simply here. And we might even be content to stand at a distance and call for help. So where is the good news for us? The lepers received their healing, and even the Samaritan had a chance to showcase his faith. But what is that for us? Where in this story do we read ourselves? As the lepers, who instead go without healing? Or is this story only about a thankful man who shows us it is always important to say thank you? Are we to look at this as an object lesson? Perhaps we should rename the story "The Nine Ungrateful Lepers." For without Jesus in our midst, we are left with an emptiness, a yearning for some peace, some healing that we can only read about in the pages of a book. And perhaps there is a little more to this story than our first glance. I think this is true because I think there are actually two stories here. Two narratives that press up against each other. Since we only really see from the perspective of Jesus, we really only have the one story. For the 10 lepers, the story is the first part. How the frailty of their experience, the brokenness of their bodies is healed by garnering the courage to ask Jesus for healing, even if it's from 20 feet away. They believe, and so we too must believe. From our distance of time, we are encouraged to see Jesus from far off, to take that leap of faith. This is more difficult than it might seem, for as we all know, it is those things closest to us that we relinquish and are hesitant to show to others. This story encourages us by showing that Jesus, the great physician, has power even over the space that separates us. He who walked on the waves of the sea has the ability to heal us, even as we stand at a distance to watch. In this story, the lepers stand next to us on the outskirts, the margins, the in-between places. And so we are not so different than they. We are alone. Despite being surrounded by many, we are fractured and struggle to hold the seams of hope together. But Jesus is there, assuring us, giving us faith that we can be whole and at peace. The other story is of a lone individual, a leper, a foreign man, a Samaritan. And his story begins where the other ends. With the rejoicing of healed wounds comes the desire to be thankful for your new life. The Samaritan finds that his wildest dreams have come true, for while the others also had leprosy, they always had the possibility of going before the priests for cleansing. But not so this foreigner. His prospects were always bleak, his future barren as the desert. So when he is healed, a man formerly without a future, something changes in him. Despite his healing, he still lives on the borders between Samaria and Galilee, between clean and unclean, between holy and profane. And so he says, thank you. It's something we teach our children from a young age. Thank you. Listen to Sarah Berry or Amy Sporing sometime when Michael and Sierra or Josh and Griffin are around. I'm convinced now that after teaching for a little while, half the sentences that come out of most parents' mouths are the phrase, say thank you. It is such a common thing in our culture that I think we perhaps take offense for Jesus, but the rest did not return to thank him. And so there is a part of us that treats this story with kid gloves, explaining the message as, make sure you thank God when he does stuff for you. But I think it's something more than that. Behind these two stories, between the cracks, we see a deeper message that eludes us. That message for us today lies between Samaria and Galilee, between the foreigner and the disciple, between clean and unclean. It is in the places that we least expect it, in a region of Judea not oft traveled, in the confession of faith by a Samaritan leper, in the broken relationships that we struggle through, in the jobs we are unfulfilled by. In these unexpected places and unexpected people, we find the kingdom of God staring at us. By our standards, the Samaritan man did nothing really remarkable. He offered thanks where thanks was due. It is only, though, when we realize that his thanks is not merely gratitude, but a confession of faith, that the story truly reveals the gospel. For as this man's confession of faith ends his story, we realize that ours is just beginning. We are like him. we stand in the cracks looking for Jesus. He is not always visible. In fact, sometimes he is so far away, it is only a rumor that we hear about. Sometimes the accidents of life, the schedules we keep, the jobs we work, the people we spend time with, sometimes these things distract us. They get in the way and bog us down. And before we know it, the kingdom of God is hidden behind a mist of stress and activities and noise. But the gospel for us, the good news in this text, is that it is often in those places that we find Jesus, if we have but eyes to see and ears to hear. Blessed be the name of the Lord.